Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening. Subscribe, follow the podcast, go to YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. And I know it's Football Friday, and I know we're looking forward towards the Giants and the Eagles coming up on Sunday. We'll do a lot of the midday show today on that game. Of course, the pregame show coming up Sunday, you can watch it on YouTube or Odyssey app and 94 WIP, 11 a.m. pregame show Sunday mornings. We get set for the Eagles and Giants up at MetLife. But I was watching a lot of baseball last night, and I know you may have checked out after the Phillies went out. I love baseball. October is my favorite month. I love the postseason. I watch baseball. So I really was trying to watch this Mets-Dodgers series with a discerning eye because I wanted to see in a 3-1 now. Dodgers, they blow the doors off the Mets last night at Citi Field. 3-1, Dodgers are up as the Mets try to stave off elimination, try to get that back to L.A., if not, it's going to be a wrap soon. The Dodgers are going to get to the World Series almost surely up 3-1. And they're doing it by doing something the Phillies couldn't. Actually, I think it would have made me feel better if I just thought the Phillies got beat by the hot team and the Mets are this team of destiny. And what are you going to do? Just, you know, the way the Phillies acted the day, you know, in their press conference, like, yeah, they got beat by a hot team. But the more you watch the Mets play, and the more you watch the Mets play a team more prepared to beat them, the more frustrated I get because this isn't a matter of luck or timing. This is a matter of construction. And the biggest difference in this series offensively for the Mets, for the Phillies compared to the Dodgers, what they are doing to the Mets pitching, which we all said going into the postseason was not something special. The Mets didn't have special pitching. Now, they may in the future years. I think they're a candidate to sign Corbin Burns. I mean, if Senga will be healthier next year, the Mets could be a better next season. But right now, this Mets team, Jose Quintana, you know, like the way the Phillies swung and missed last week, you would think it was prime Johnson and Schilling out there, and it wasn't even close to that. The Mets don't have those kind of arms in their kind of franchise trajectory right now. And it made it that much worse to watch the Phillies not get good competitive swings on them because I think they could have done damage against Jose Quintana just in particular in game four. That's who pitched last night for the New York Mets against the Dodgers, and the Phillies didn't do it. And when the postseason, end of season press conference happened for the Phillies a couple days ago, they made it seem like, hey, we got a really good team, had four bad days, we'll figure it out, no worries, we got a lot of good players. And I think the Phillies are missing the point. And I hope Dave Dombrowski's watching this Dodgers series, because what they have is what we don't have enough of. What the Dodgers have is a deep, relentless lineup of guys who do not swing at bad pitches. They spit on tough, nasty stuff. And sometimes I think I overcomplicate it, we oversimplify it. We all do. It's hard not to swing at spin that's really good. These pitchers are incredible. They work 24 hours. They work 365 days a year. They go to Driveline. They tunnel these pitches. They have all this video now. Technology and infrastructure and progression in pitching is just outscaling progression hitting by a lot. That's why batting average are coming down. It's why it's harder to score. It's why we have so many guys that look terrible with these swings, because these pitchers are designing these pitches to look like strikes, look like strikes, look like strikes, and then bam, they just dive. And it used to be when I was younger, like, I don't know, 5-10% of the league with pitchers could do that. It just was, they were naturally gifted, they had great stuff. The Pedros, the Clemens with a splitter, you know, those guys. And now they all do it. Or at least the good ones all have a pitch or two that just crushes you if they throw it well. And you have to be so disciplined and so good and have such a discerning eye at the plate to either lay off it or not swing and make bad contact. And that's the biggest difference right now between the Dodgers against the Mets and the Phillies against the Mets, is the Dodgers have a lot of those guys. And they're excellent at it. Shohei Ohtani's excellent at it. Mookie Betts is excellent at it. Max Muncy is incredible at it. Freddie Freeman's incredible at it. They added Tommy Edman. He's good at it. Like they've created a whole team. Will Smith's good at it, where they don't swing at bad spin. And they force you to throw pitches over the plate. And when you are Danny Young, and when and you're Jose Quintana and you're Reed Garrett, you're going to get hit because your stuff just isn't that special. That's why the Dodgers are doing what they're doing. They have 30 walks through four games. The Phillies had 16. Last night, the Dodgers hitters forced the Mets to throw 197 pitches. It's a cumulative effect. It adds up and it knocks your bullpen out and it weighs you down and you can't be your best late in the series. The Phillies in game four of the NLDS forced Mets pitching to throw 154 pitches. That's a major difference. That's a 43 pitch difference. That's the difference between swinging at first pitches or, you know, going out one, two, three in terms of one strike, two strike, three strike, and swinging a ball in the dirt on the outside rather than grinding at bats. And every time I come back to what is the difference between the 2022 Phillies, the 2023 Phillies, the 2024 Phillies, why did that team in 22 have the ability to get to the World Series and this one doesn't? And the biggest thing I notice is they have subtracted too many grinders and they've added in too many free swingers. The balance is off in the Phillies lineup. And that's why when I hear Dave Dombrowski speak, he's got to fix that. He can't be holding to, we have good players. Yeah, they're good players, but they might not be built as a group to win a championship together. And the best way I could describe it is I think the baseball regular season and the baseball postseason are just totally different animals. Some players are built for both. Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, they're built for both. I have no qualms about them. Built for both. They've shown it before. They've gotten to a World Series. I mean, obviously, Schwarber won a World Series. They've hit in the postseason. They've walked in the postseason. They grind out bats in the postseason. And they're not going to have a bad series here or there. Schwarber didn't have a particularly good series after the home run to lead it off in game one. That happens. But his postseason career speaks for itself, as is Bryce Harper's. They are built by their eye and their discerning eye at the plate to be good in October. That's it. They are. Certain guys are more regular season players. Trey Turner's a regular season player. That's what he is. He may hit some mistakes last year against the Braves. He's a regular season player. Nick Castellanos, although he played well in this postseason and has had a lot of moments, he skews more towards that than he does the other guys. The issue is, in 22, the Phillies had more of those guys. Rhys Hoskins' bat, I actually think, is more of a postseason bat. That guy grinded at bats. Matt Vierling grinded at bats. Gene Segura, there's different when you grind at bats. Like, you could take a ton of pitches off the zone and force them to throw you strikes. Or you could be a contact guy. Like, I think about Gene Segura. Gene Segura was, he swung a lot of pitches outside the strike zone. He was not up there to walk, but he had incredible bat-to-ball skills. And a couple times in October that year, put the bat on the ball, and he got on base and he got a hit. So you got to have it one or two ways. And I go back to 22. There were three guys in that lineup, excuse me, that didn't K a lot or grinded at bats and forced pitchers to throw the ball over the plate. Vierling and Hoskins and Segura would do it in his own way. And they've lost that. They have too many of the Marshes, too many of the Rojases now, too many of the guys towards the bottom of the lineup, Hayes this year, that just are poor at it. JT is not great at it. You know, I actually think Bohm changed more to the Segura element of it, where he'll put the bat on the ball. It's a matter of, if he's not having success, you're not grinding pitchers and all that. They need more of those guys. The Dodgers have tons of them. And I think the book is now out on the Phillies. Three straight postseason trips. Teams are preparing for them. This is the way you get those guys out. So is there a world where the Phillies are able to, with the core of this group, win a World Series or get deeper or get back to a World Series? There is. But it has to be mixed up, aided, supplemented by more of what the Dodgers have. And I don't just mean the greatness of Shohei Ohtani. Like, you're not going to find a Shohei Ohtani. But you could find what the Phillies' mix was 2 years ago and have more of that. They've teetered here to the wrong side of that seesaw. And the Dodgers are on the correct side of the seesaw. And that seesaw, you're seeing it against the Mets. Like, against the Mets were the heavier weight on the seesaw. They put the Phillies in. They sat down and the Phillies popped up. It's the opposite with the Dodgers, because the Dodgers can balance attack it, can make sure they're grinding these at-bats, forcing these Mets pitchers. Like, Trey Turner was right. It was frustrating what he said because, like, why can't they fix it? But he was right. They got themselves out against the Mets. It wasn't the Mets getting them out. And what you're seeing here in this series against the Dodgers, if you're watching, is the Dodgers are not getting themselves out. The Phillies got themselves out. The Dodgers are not getting themselves out. And that is equal parts frustrating and also enlightening. Like, I feel like I've learned something about the Phillies by watching the Dodgers and Mets. I feel like I've learned what they have to do. I hope Dave Dombrowski's watching and not just sitting on his laurels and sitting on his, hey, we had eight All-Stars. Because you could bring these same guys to the postseason next year, the same thing's going to happen. I'm more convinced than ever that without change, the Phillies will not win the World Series with this group. There's too many rounds, even if with a bye. There's too many smart pitching coaches to be able to do this, to go through all these rounds, all these games, and not get exposed for what they do. So I was looking this morning at some of the best hitters this past season in O swing percentage. And if you don't know what that is, let's keep it very simple. Percentage of times you swing out of pitches outside the strike zone. O would be outside in the statistic. Okay. So just how often you swing outside of pitches outside the strike zone. Swing at bad pitches. It's very, very simple. Castellanos, Turner, very high in the metric. They're one of the two of the worst defenders in baseball. You're not surprised. They swing at a lot of pitches outside the strike zone. Now here's the good thing. Kyle Schwarber's one of the best. You know, you kind of start scrolling through the top 50, top 75 in baseball this season. You know, guys that had 200 and whatever plate appearances, he's one of the best. You're not surprised by that. Schwarber may strike out, but he doesn't swing at bad pitches. He just swings and misses sometimes. Power hitters do that. So I just started writing down some of the names of guys that are near the top. You know, very high percentile in not swinging and not swinging the bad pitches, like letting the bad pitches go. Very high in the O swing percentage, you know, metric, lowest percentage of actual swing at those pitches. And some of these guys should be or could be legitimate options. Obviously, the two big ones. Juan Soto is one of the best at it. Has been to the day he walked in the big leagues. He has a Barry Bonds kind of eye at the plate. Soto should be the sun, the moon, the stars, the entire operation this offseason. Should be to go get Juan Soto. Is it a pipe dream? Maybe. Is it maybe almost too much to ask because they've already poured this much money to the roster? You could say that, but if I get Juan Soto, I'll move off other guys. I'll figure it out. You get Juan Soto if you can. He would single-handedly change the profile there of the lineup, because I think right now they have three true grinders in the lineup. They have a grinder in Schwarber. They have a grinder in Harper, and they have a grinder in Stott. He was not himself this year, and I was very disappointed in Bryson Stott's season, but I like Bryson Stott. And I believe there's still more there for his career and specifically this ability to grind at bats. You saw it when he hooked the triple down the line in game two. It's there. He just has to be able to do it more often. So I'm not giving up on Stott. I actually think he's one of the three that actually does this at a fairly high rate. So Juan Soto is top. Alex Bregman, third baseman, Astros. If they're not shopping the Soto tier, I do believe Bregman should be the next priority. I would sign Bregman, and I would move off Alec Bowman to trade to try to upgrade somewhere else, whether it be the outfield for a player that maybe could do some of this, or a relief pitcher, because they're going to lose. Well, they're going to have Estevez and Hoffman go to free agency. I think they can use another arm in the bullpen, and I would look to use him and move Bowman in that direction if they get Bregman. But some other names that are more under the radar that fit the bill, and I think in some ways could fit the Phillies, Lamont Wade. A little bit of an awkward fit because physically he hasn't played the outfield much in recent years. He's been more of a DH first baseman, although he came up as an outfielder. He has, if you're looking for a poor man's Soto in terms of the profile, left-handed, doesn't swing at bad pitches, got some pop, gets on base a lot, that would be Lamont Wade. Again, I don't know if he could play the outfield enough to make it work, but he's on my radar. Connor Joe, right-handed hitter, platoon, in the outfield with Marsh, he'd go really well. A much better version of Austin Hayes, who swings and misses too much. Lars Nootbaar. I think there could be a Phillies-Cardinals trade this offseason. The team seemed to line up to me with issues they have. I would trade. I would make a call about Ranger Suarez for Lars Nootbaar. Nootbaar's had a lot of injuries, but he strikes me as an athletic and advanced outfielder that could play every day. And I wouldn't be surprised if Lars Nootbaar develops a type of player that you could slot in two in the lineup and drop Trey if you get your hands on a Lars Nootbaar. I like him a whole lot. So he's very high in the list. You're one of the top five in this. Danny Jancic. Keep an eye out for that name. If the Phillies are serious about not playing real Muto as much, but they want real production to catcher every day. I would look into Danny Jansen. I've always liked him. Great bat speed. Does not swing at pitches outside the strike zone. He is a force at the plate when he's healthy. He's been banged up. But, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to – JT's got 1 year left. You sign a guy like Danny Jansen to a 2 or 3 year deal with the anticipation that he's the starting catcher a year from now and they let JT walk, or the two of them split it, and maybe you see if you could throw Schwarber in the outfit a little bit more for one more year. You don't also only have Schwarber for one more year, so maybe JT stays and Jansen and JT are a DH combo, and we see what happens with Schwarber. Jansen's interesting to me, and he's very high up on this metric. Yandy Diaz, if the Rays are willing to trade him, I would take him in a heartbeat. He's a better player than Alec Boehm, hits the ball hard, does not swing at bad pitches. And then the guy that I have on my radar, I think he'd be the perfect Philly, is Brandon Donovan. Second base, left field, does it all for the St. Louis Cardinals, takes pitches, he grinds. He just strikes me as the guy that's going to win a World Series one day somewhere. I love him, and I think he'd be an absolute awesome fit here. So that's what they need. They need more of that. But this Dodgers-Mets series has been enlightening. It really has, because it's shown why the Phillies lost the Mets and shown why they could have beaten the Mets. We got to learn from it. The Phillies have to learn from it because it's all there. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Go to the YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there.